blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leto and Will TLD Vampides.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Why everything, Dennis? I'm TLD.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show of shows here on blogtalkradio.com. It is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, hashtag PWP Radio for short. We are here live for one more week of pro wrestling, our 51st episode here tonight, and we got some awesome things to talk about this evening. It is an amazing night for us to talk about a couple great things that are going on. But for those who have been listening to us for the past year, we appreciate it, and we are happy that you are here to join us for another great episode. But of course, for all those people who are new to our radio show, we like to welcome you. And no, you're not calling under the wrong show. Jay's not here because he had to go to a Blink 183 concert or something, but he is out for the week, and I am here. I am TLD from TLDWrestling.com, here to host that show. Calling in tonight is a big guest for us. He's been on our show many times before. He is one of the co-owners of ProWrestlingSyndicate.com here in the local New Jersey area. It is Mr. Eric Tapout. We're going to ask him some questions about his upcoming show that's happening on September 20th in Raleigh, New Jersey. We're going to talk a little bit about that, a couple of things about how he got the iPay-per-view going, and some controversy caused by some fans, which I'm sure he loves to talk about. He doesn't hold back. But for those who don't know who we are, go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We are an article-based show. We always have a great time running some great articles, plus doing this radio show for you people. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in one of our main co-hosts that's always on the show, Mr. T.O.P.H. How you doing, Toph?
You forgot the Lex Luger theme. It's okay. We'll get it next week. I'm doing great.
Well, first off, I know Jay, first off, if you look in this studio, ladies and gentlemen, I have over 40 different like audio themes in here now. So I'm freaking confused. I have no idea what the hell is going on here. You know what? Here, you'll get this theme. Here, I'll pick this one. Here you go. That's enough of that. All right. So
Yeah. I think I could be a more credible champ than Curtis Axel, poor guy.
Well, that's all I got this week for you. Calling into the show, I believe this is John. John, are you there with us?
Hello, William.
Oh, William, it's TLD. But thank you for calling into the show, John. How's everything going with you?
Good. Can't complain.
Guys, how's the baby doing?
He's great.
Yeah,
5 months tomorrow.
5 months tomorrow. Wow, he's getting old. I haven't seen one picture of him. Thank you for sharing. Am I the godfather?
No, but you came in third.
Third place. You know what? I'll take it. In case something happens to everybody else, magically, I will be the man in charge of your baby. How awesome is that?
Yes, and they're all over Facebook. Pictures of them.
Oh, I'm sure they are, man. I just don't have time. I'm busy looking at my photos. But thank you for calling
exactly.
in tonight.
You're welcome, William.
Yes, thank you. Well, we have Eric calling in tonight. He will be joining us here for the remainder of the show for about a half hour or so, however long he wants to talk. I know he likes to like promote his great promotion, PWS, coming to the area. John, you're going to be coming to that show, right?
No, I didn't get invited to that show.
Well, I'm inviting you, so if you want to come, you can. So,
all right, let me see when it is. And then we're going to FWE in October.
That's right. We have FEW or FWE. Am I correct?
Yeah, October 12th.
That's right. We'll be there for that as well. But the PWS show is coming up first, and when Eric gets on the air, we will talk to him about that. So, anyway, John, you got a lot of background noise. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. So I'm going to put him on hold anyway. He has a lot of background noise. But anyway, let's talk about, until he gets on the air, we're going to talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw. That was the big thing that happened last night. It was the go-home show to our big pay-per-view, Night of Champions. A lot of build has been happening with this show. And we wonder, you know, even Tope just brought up a point that, well, last night wasn't too much of promoting, I guess. He forgot it even happened. But Tope, before we go down what happened on the show, what were your thoughts on the entire show overall?
I thought it was a fine Raw. Like, just no sarcasm. I really forgot, like, Night of Champions was this Sunday. I just thought it was a regular Raw. The Canadian fans are always great, you know, so it's always good to hear asshole chants. I haven't heard that since, like, the Attitude Era days and stuff, so it was a good show. I mean, I think the weakest match probably is the World Heavyweight Championship match. They just seem to be kind of they're really not caring much about that title this year. They've been very lazy about it, but every other match seems to be, you know, okay. I think pay-per-view will be fine. I think the interest level is a relatively maybe, probably have a scale from 1 to 10. I think most fans would say somewhere around like maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Raw was actually very strong going into it. John, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job promoting the show. I actually disagree, Toph, respectfully. I actually think one of the main things with the World Heavyweight title match is what they're going to do with Ricardo. I think I am actually buying into the idea that he may be setting up Van Damme. You know, I can see that. So I think they've done a nice job of keeping that as a distant possibility with everything being so over the top, like how he's RVD's, like, number one amigo and all that stuff. You know, the build-up for everything, the only thing I guess really would be the tag title match. Really didn't get any build. Could have probably been smarter to have some of the teams on, you know, to build some momentum, you know, this and that. So, but other than that, yeah, I thought they built up the show pretty good.
You know, Night of Champions is looking to be a really strong pay-per-view, especially coming off SummerSlam. You know, it was a really big show for them, and it came off really well. Everyone seemed to thought that was a show of the year, and now we're going into another big pay-per-view for us with Monday Night Raw. But let's break down Raw a little bit. Let's talk about a couple of the main things that happened on the show. Edge made his return right in the beginning of the show, and boy, him, Triple H, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, they went back and forth, and the fans were really, really getting into it. It looks like the fans were really getting behind Edge, and obviously at the end when we saw Christian laid out and attacked by the Shield. Toph, what were your thoughts about how Edge kind of shoot on Triple H a little bit and how they kind of shot back and forth?
Oh, you know, it was a good promo. I mean, there wasn't anything they said I didn't know about already. I thought it was a good promo and stuff like that. A long time ago, I saw a video on YouTube. I think it was a documentary about John Cena. I'm not sure. But in an interview, they were talking about, you know, some of the best moments of his career. And they asked him, you know, what was your best moment? And John Cena said the pop he got when he first got drafted to Raw, you know, the night when he was the WWE champion, he got drafted, you know, the fans were into him. And, you know, John Cena said it was a very exciting time for his career because, you know, Raw was the big time and stuff. And he said one of the first people he approached backstage after the show was Triple H. And he walked up to Triple H and said, hey, you know, I would really appreciate some type of positive criticism. You know, like, what do you think about me? And in the interview, John Cena just said straight up that Triple H thought that he sucked. Thought that he wasn't a draw and just thought that he was just a very, very green wrestler. And at the time he was, but he felt that John Cena had no future at all, and he was wrong. So, you know, a lot of good points were brought up in the promo. You know, good promo.
Yeah, you know, I really felt like those two were really going at it as far as the realism between Edge and Triple H and how they felt. You know,
the
talk
story
about
is they don't like each other. That's the story. I don't know if that's right. True or not. The story has always gone back to that, you know, the unfortunate Matt Hardy Lita situation. The story that's been going on for years is that apparently Triple H wanted him gone. He He wanted Edge gone. He felt that he was untrustworthy and felt that he was a drama person and that he was just not good business for WWE. That's the myth that's been going on for years. I have no idea if there's any truth to it. That's just what I've heard for a very long time now.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't hear those rumors. I'm not really big into those kind of things, but, you know, I'm sure it could be true in a lot of ways. I'm sure they brought a lot of realism out. But, boy, you know, it definitely caught on to me. I was very interested in what they had to say. John, what about yourself?
Yeah, just to quickly hop on what Toph said, I think, Toph, you said it on the Triple H show we did. Part of it also has to do with what Edge did to Matt Hardy. Apparently that, ironically enough, Hunter had a problem with. Yeah, I've kind of heard some of the same stuff, too, over the years, that Hunter was never big on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they worked that short program in 08, it was very short, and Hunter basically squashed him in that match at the Great American Bash in 08. But as far as, like, the actual promo and what was said, it had a very good feel to it. You know, everyone kind of, you know, got their stuff out, you know. You know, even without Edge and Hunter getting too crazy, I thought it was good. You know, the shots at Orton and the shots that, you know, Hunter even brought Edge out to promote Haven just for a payday. I thought that was a nice little touch. There's a little bit of supposedly the word going around is that they're talking about some sort of maybe Legends deal, so maybe Edge sticks around. The comment in the back about the neck and all that, that's the only thing I don't like about this is that it's the same thing like with Taz and Aces and Eights. You know nothing's ever going to happen to Taz because of the neck. So you know nothing's ever going to happen to Edge or with Edge because of the physicality on it. So there's no real payoff per se. So, you know, but other than that, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean, I thought a lot of realism to it. And then adding Christian to the mix, obviously, because Christian can't really wrestle right now because of his trauma. You know, those are big deals. But we're going to get back to Raw talk. I'm going to bring in, I believe this is Eric, 914, you're on the air. Eric, is this you, sir?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Eric, how's everything going tonight?
Doing great, man, doing great.
Well, it's good to have you on. For those who don't know who Eric is, he is one of the co-owners of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. We're here to talk about the big show coming up Friday, September 20th, that me and Jay will be attending, joining you guys for that show. We have a big autograph signing at 6 p.m., and bell time is at 8 o'clock. So, Eric, if you want to talk about some of the main stars that's coming to the show for the autograph signing and who they are expected to see, I would love for you to talk to our fans, but to your fans as well that are listening in.
Sure, my pleasure. I mean, first of all, I'm very excited. We have King Kong Bundy coming to PWS, first time ever for him. That'll be great. Matt Hardy, who you guys were just talking about, former PWS heavyweight champion, has taken on the undefeated Bonesaw. So that should be a good one. PWS titles on the line. Kevin Matthews defending against former best friend, former reality check stablemate Alex Reynolds, who turned on him back in June. So a lot of bad blood there. Buff Bagwell makes his PWS debut against Colt Cabana. So, I mean, that within itself should be pretty interesting. Just Incredible is coming back to PWS for the first time since 2007. So definitely looking forward to having him back with us, and should be a fun night. The event's live on iPay-Per-View. All the matches are announced on ProWrestlingSyndicate.com.
You know, I got to ask you, you've been bringing in some people here that I never thought that we would see. One of them that stuck out to me first, besides Buff Bagwell and now King Kong Bundy, another one that I thought was very significant was the Disco Inferno. I can't remember the last time that guy was even in our area, if he ever was. So, you know, you're bringing in a lot of names that, you know, people really have a connection to. So what were your thoughts on bringing in these kind of guys?
Hello?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Will calling back in. We apologize. We had a breakup in the feed. Skype wasn't working too well for us, so I had to switch over to my phone. I do apologize. for that. We're back on the air. Got to get everyone back in here. I do apologize for that. Let's bring Eric back in. Eric, are you with us?
I'm with you, man. Technical difficulties. We beat them. That's what I'm talking about, guys.
No, that's why you always have to have a backup phone. Unbelievable how Skype failed me on this one. But I'm sorry, I wasn't able to get anything in there. So if you want to talk about bringing in back these guys, Buff Bagwell, Disco Inferno, some of the WCW stars back in the day, even the Rock and Roll Express were another group, I would say. Talk about bringing some of these names in here that a lot of people from this area have never seen before.
We just like doing things kind of different and out of the box. And, I mean, for us, I mean, a guy like Disco Inferno looked as good as he did 20 years ago on television. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. We had him back in June. He wrestled Colt Cabana. He's coming back for us in October. He's a pleasure. Rock and Roll Express, even at an advanced age, they wrestled the Heavenly Bodies and the Briscoes back-to-back for us during WrestleMania weekend. Great guys, work hard. Can't say anything bad. And looking forward to Buff Bagwell. I mean, we like doing stuff like this because it's not what you see everywhere else. And if you did what everyone else is doing, why would you care what we're doing, you know?
Right. I mean, those are the kind of things that I think that stand out for you guys, that you guys bring in people that we normally don't see in this area. I would say Bret Hart, Vader, a lot of these guys are not known to our area. And you've had Goldust before, who was just on, right on Raw just not that long ago, and, you know, just last night. And he looked great, and he looked great on your show when he came in the area. So
sure.
Definitely – How are you contacting these stars? Like, are you talking to agents? How does it usually work when you're trying to connect to these people, especially for the first time when you're bringing them in?
We're pretty allergic to agents, to be honest. The only time we ever really deal with middlemen is if we're going international, and sometimes you have to. You know, like when we brought in Great Muta or Jushin Liger in cases like that. But for the most part, we contact people directly. You know, my partner, Pat, and I are fairly well connected. And, you know, if there's someone that we have our eye on, we'll track them down, you know, hopefully. And, you know, hopefully they'll want to come in and, you know, work for us. And so far, that's worked out pretty good for us so far. So can't complain.
Yeah. Also, we have Jake the Snake Roberts coming in for this big show, which is probably the big name that a lot of people want to see. You know, he hasn't been around a lot, but he's been doing great as far as recovering from all of his demons and doing really well. But he's coming into PWS. And talk about getting someone like Jake the Snake Roberts coming in. What's that? Has he been to PWS before?
You know, it's funny. Jake actually surprised me, literally surprised me. We were doing a double shot WrestleMania weekend in Metuchen, New Jersey, and Jake the Snake Roberts walks in the door, like unannounced, and wants to come and sign autographs. And we're like, yeah, sure, you know, make yourself at home. Looks great, was very respectful, and, you know, was in good spirits. And we were literally surprised by him being there. And we knew right then that he was someone that we wanted to work with. I mean, Jake Roberts is a staple of pro wrestling, and he's with recovery. I mean, it's been pretty well documented with Dallas Page, obviously doing good things with him, and with Scott Hall, who will also be joining us later on this year in PWS in November. You know, Jake just rubbed us the right way, and I look forward to having him in, gosh, less than 2 weeks, September 20th in Rahway, New Jersey.
So I got to say, I mean, this year, I mean, this was a pretty big year when WrestleMania came into town. How is PWS doing as far as, like, globally getting connections, you know, money-wise? There's always a lot of problems with independent wrestling. Is it just sometimes they do it for the love, even though I know that's what you guys are doing it, but they forget about the business side of getting a return on the investment. And obviously being able to bring a lot of stars that you do requires a lot of cash flow to get those people in there. So I got to tell you, how does it work? How does the advertising work? How are you guys able to maintain an audience? Not only that, but being able to afford these amazing talents that you're bringing in. And, you know, because to me, it's not seen in a lot of independent pro wrestling shows. They just simply do it for a lot of heart, but they really don't put a lot of money or investment into it. I mean, what makes PWS so much different that people are responding to it?
I think Pat and I are just a little crazy. I don't know. I mean, Pat and I just literally, I mean, Pat Buck's my partner for the past 2 years or so, and I've been very blessed to work with him. And I don't know, I mean, this is our lives. You know, we literally gave up our lives for this, and we're not rich. We don't have trust funds. We don't have, you know, rich families or anything like that. And we really invest everything we have into this, financially, emotionally, time-wise. You know, this is what we do, and we're fortunate enough to have a locker room of guys that share that passion, and fortunate enough to have a wrestling school with a lot of great young talent coming up that shares that passion, and somehow, some way, we're able to connect with an audience of passionate wrestling fans that are just craving something different, that really are craving an alternative, and we hope to be that alternative to kind of, you know, suffice that itch that they kind of want to scratch. And it's really one hand turns another. I mean, everyone under that roof at a PWI show is just as involved as I am or Pat is. I mean, everyone there makes this product what it is. And so far, it's been successful. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we look forward to bigger and better things in the time ahead.
So one of the things that also, if fans can't be in New Jersey, they can get you on iPay-Per-View. And that relationship, I believe, is with High Spots. Am I correct?
Yes.
So how does one to go to High Spots, and let's say that someone wants to put on a pay-per-view and do iPay-Per-View at High Spots. How does that connection start? How does that work between you and High Spots? Because a lot of times, I know a lot of companies use High Spots as an iPay-Per-View source, and obviously they're relatively, you know, cheap. They're only like, what, $5, $10 to get those pay-per-views, but it's a lot more affordable than $55. So why don't we talk a little about that, how that works with iPay-Per-View, and how that part of the business is going for you?
iPay-Per-View has been something we have wanted to do from the beginning. And for us, I tried out my own work with a company called Go Fight Live back in 2010. And, I mean, long story short, they screwed me. They screwed me on money. And they screwed the fans. They ran a half-assed iPay-Per-View, and there was no audio. And it looked like dog shit, I mean, to be blunt. And, you know, PWS has never paid. I demanded that everyone get refunded for it. They never refunded the fans, and it was bad. I had a bad taste of iPay-Per-View in my mouth. But then we tried to do it ourselves, you know, and we had reached out to a friend that knows how to do all this technical stuff, came in, and it worked, you know. But High Spots had a little bit better experience with it, and that's what we were looking for. And I don't know, Michael from High Spots, who runs High Spots, just a straight-up guy, just a very sincere, straight-up dude, which is rare in wrestling on the business side of things, as you can imagine. And he's done right by us, and I like to think we've done right by him, and so far it's been a success. I mean, for us, we're fortunate enough, we have a production company, Valente Vision Films. It's a legit professional production company. They come in with a crane camera and 7 high-definition, you know, cameras roaming all over the place. They legit have one of those editing trucks in the parking lot like you would see at, you know, Monday Night Raw. It's crazy. So, I mean, we've just been blessed by getting to network with the right people, and it all kind of came together to create what we have.
Yeah, I mean, we see that production crew there, and it's pretty amazing to see that you do have the lighting, the cameras, you know, everything pretty much, you know, looking like a real professional company, and it looks amazing. I have never seen it on iPay-Per-View because usually I've been there. I'm from the area, so I try to come when I can. But, yeah, it is pretty amazing to see how the way it looks. And it looks like, even though it is independent wrestling, it doesn't feel like an independent wrestling. It makes you really, you know, enjoy the product. And obviously fans keep coming back. I mean, right now, your show is sold out, at least for the front row, I mean, almost every time that, you know, you come there. And you're going back to Rahway. Now, obviously, there was a situation with Sandy, and there was also that other situation that occurred with the fire department. How does it feel to come back to Rahway again?
I love Rahway. You know, PWS has been around since 07. Rahway has been that one place that has felt like home from the second we walked in. And we love it. We love it there. We love it enough. Pat literally moved there, you know. I mean, Rahway's been good to us. It's a town that we love, that we hang out there, you know, and Rahway's become part of our everyday lives. You know, the Rahway Rec Center was great to us. Unfortunately, you know, Hurricane Sandy, I mean, it stinks. You know, I mean, here's a building that got hit by a storm 11 months ago and are still not back in action. You know, and for us, I mean, we wanted to go back to Rahway. Initially, the rec center was supposed to be up and running. We had dates for, you know, September through November there. And that's all now kind of pushed off till next year. So we decided, well, why not do the next best thing, which is, well, wait a second, we're at the Rahway Rec Center, and in the same complex is this very large soccer dome. Let's go see what's going on in there. And luckily, you know, they welcomed us with open arms, and we'll be in Rahway, literally in the same parking lot, you know, just at a different complex from what we're accustomed to. So definitely would be good to go back there. I mean, the last time we were in Rahway for a show was last November, where we legitimately ran in a senior citizen center off of power generators in the middle of a blackout during Hurricane Sandy because we refused to cancel. You know, so, I mean, that's how much we really care for that town. And it's conveniently located, you know, half an hour from Manhattan. And it's conveniently located 10 minutes from Metuchen, which is where our, you know, wrestling school is based out of. So for us, it's our home. And we definitely look forward to going back home.
You know, you did a good segue to something I was going to talk about. One of the things I advocate about, a lot of people, even for myself who did wrestling, are always like, well, where can we go to do some pro wrestling school training? And that's one thing that you guys have, along with yourself, with Pat Buck, and I believe and everyone that's a part of that, Kevin Matthews is a part of that, helping these guys going. Talk a little bit about the school, because a lot of people obviously want to know where to go to have a school, but you guys do a lot of cool things with it. You guys are not ripping people off, basically, because we see that a lot in independent wrestling.
I think we're the lowest tuition of any school in the Northeast.
I'm sure you are. It's true. So talk a little bit about that. For those who listen to our show and are curious about going to a pro wrestling school, talk a little bit about the program, how it works, and, you know, just get out there. Tell people what it's like.
Well, I mean, the first thing to know is we opened school back in June of 2012, and the average person, we had an open house. The average person that came to the open house were fans. Were fans at the shows that came to PWS shows and were like, oh, my God, like, I want to be part of this. I want to be more than just a fan. Like, what do I do? And first off, I think a lot of people, when they are maybe, like, on the brink of deciding, like, is this something I want to pursue? Like, I'm a little nervous. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Like, get that thought out of your head immediately, because we welcome you with open arms. We're not expecting you to know anything. We're expecting you to have nothing in your head other than the desire to advance yourself and have a goal in mind and help you accomplish that goal. And Pat has a vast amount of experience, you know, has trained a lot of people, a lot of well-known people, you know, in addition to a whole lot of our students who have progressed at a rapid pace. Right now, we're every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 6 to 10 o'clock at the Sportsplex in Metuchen, New Jersey. It's $200 a month, 3 days a week. And this is your opportunity to learn from scratch, learn from nothing. You know, literally learn how to lace your boots, you know. And for us, I mean, I would say just look at the students that have started with us. Look at Damian Gibbs. Look at Black Hollywood. Look at the lifeguard. Look at how talented these guys are in such a short amount of time. Look at a guy like Craven Barrow. You know, literally, go on YouTube and, like, type in those names. Like, look them up. Like, these guys got good really, really fast. And it's from their own hard work mixed into, you know, Pat's ability to train. We have Kevin Matthews, who you mentioned, along with Dan Moss and Justin Carino and Mo Sexton are also there to help out. And it's a good group. You know, everyone helps each other. It's more of a team, you know. People aren't, you know, picking on each other or, you know, anything like that. Everyone's very supportive. and it's just a very good positive vibe, which is, it's amazing. I mean, it's something that, you know, when PWS started, I never thought I would get to see that happen. So for me, it's a blessing just to see the way things kind of came together.
And also one thing that you guys do, which is really great, is you also have the students have their own PWS show. I believe on the 28th, you're going to have a combination show or two separate shows, PWS Bomb Shows, which include Amazing Kong, Antonio Love, and the PWS champion, Bombshell champion, L.A. Rose Negra. Did I say that right? I think I said that right.
La Rosa Negra, yes.
Negra,
PWS students, a lot of them are integrated onto regular PWS events, and in addition, we do have our student shows. Because right now, I mean, we have the initial class I spoke of from this past June. June 2012. But now we also have, you know, new students, which is awesome. I mean, we have kids that have been there for a couple weeks, some of them, a couple months, some of them, you know. So this is an opportunity for them to kind of get their feet wet and kind of experience what it's like to, you know, have a match in front of a crowd and, you know, get that feeling and improve themselves. So, yeah, September 28th, we're in Eastland, New Jersey, which is right between Rahway and Metuchen. And 6 o'clock is Bombshell Ladies Wrestling, which that's PWS All Women's promotion. Some of the names you mentioned, Angelina and Amazing Kong, La Rosa Negra, but also former WWE Women's Champion Leilani Kai at 51 years old.
Oh, Leilani Kai.
Ryan, who was one of the
60,
top girls 70? From Women in the Wrestling from WOW, which was on TV back in 2000 and hasn't been in a ring since 2001 when WOW went off the air. But, I mean, she coming out of retirement for PWS Bombshells. And later that night, PWS Fight Night featuring the students of the PWS school. So should be a fun day, fun night. If you like wrestling, it'll be a place to be.
That's pretty awesome. Leilani Kai, I saw her at WrestleMania 10. So that was quite interesting that she's coming out for that match. So one thing that me and you were talking about ahead of time was a little bit of controversy, because obviously with great positive comes some negative. And there's a lot of fans out there who, you know, don't get it or have some issues, I guess, with you. Just like everyone else has, someone has an issue with me about me being too cocky or anything like that. But there was one fan in particular that we were trying to get on the show who was afraid to go on the show because of he's from another country. But bottom line, there was a story between the New Jack issue that we were talking about. So could you explain a little bit about that situation and kind of talk about it a little bit? Because I don't know the whole thing about it. So go ahead and speak up your mind.
For me personally, I mean, Pat and I are both very accessible people. PWS is a very DIY, do-it-yourself, true independent company. And for us, you know, if people have negative things to say, we'll happily hear their opinions, respect their opinions, and address their opinions. And in more cases than not, when this does happen, that individual that may come into a conversation with a negative opinion based on nothing, will leave the conversation no longer having that negative opinion. In this particular case, a fan from Ireland got in touch via Facebook on the PWS Facebook page, Facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and basically called out me and New Jack, asking why we employ New Jack, which I don't really understand what the issue is to begin with. In addition to that, I mean, New Jack, is he really employed by PWS? I could have sworn he had a retirement match with PWS a couple months ago, and he was a guest finisher back in June, but New Jack's not, like, on our active payroll. New Jack, I mean, I like New Jack, don't get me wrong, but for me, I mean, Pat and I are very picky about who we choose to employ. New Jack's never done anything wrong to me or to PWS. In fact, New Jack's been nothing but a cheerleader for PWS. I don't mean that in a weird way or anything like that, but, I mean, New Jack, you know, came into PWS and decided this is where this gentleman wanted to retire. You know, here's a guy that made a career out of professional wrestling, you know, several decades of it, and said, you know what, I'm going to do it at PWS. I was honored by that. New Jack, I have nothing bad to say about him. I don't know what anyone's issue is with him. You know, I mean, for me, I don't have any issues with them. Pat doesn't have any issues with them, so I don't know. PWS fans seem to like the guy. And...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we try to get the guy on and to speak his mind, which you have no problem talking out to people about anything, you know, but, you know, it doesn't always happen, and obviously, you know, people are sometimes, hate to say it, scared, because if they came into your face and said that to your face, which he probably wouldn't, you know, it's a whole different ballgame. But you could do it on social media because there's no harm in that. So,
we're not like bullies. Like, we're not looking to, like, you know, beat people up or anything. Like, you know, we don't operate like that. But, you know, likewise, too, if someone's basically being an internet troll and going on our social media page being a troll and just talking smack, like, all right, cool. Like, let's hear what you have to say. Where are you formulating these opinions? Based on what? Like, that's what I don't understand. I mean, here's a fan from Ireland that I'm going to go on a limb and say I've never been to a PWS show. I'll go further on a limb and say I've never had any firsthand dealings with New Jack. So what are you basing this on? Something you read on a website that was written by someone else who has no knowledge of what they're writing about? I don't understand. Explain, you know?
Mm-hmm. Got to ask you, because I saw it and I had to ask about it, the lifeguard gimmick. How the heck did that come about? Because I know it's a lot of students. I guess they get to come up with their own gimmicks, but how did that come about? Because that is just, like, some of the funniest things I've ever seen. I wasn't at the show, but I saw it, and it was hilarious. So I'm curious on
speaking amongst you guys, and the PWS faithful, I mean, the God Honest Truth, it came about the same way a lot of gimmick ideas come up. Me and Kevin Matthews having phone conversations at 5 in the morning and just brainstorming. And the lifeguard was something that came up, and I was like, Kev, I had this, like, wacky idea. Like, what do you think? And he's like, dude, like, that actually kind of works. And mixed in with Pat's ability to train, it came to life, you know, and it worked. And the student, Mike Dell, is doing an excellent job with this character. I personally look forward to seeing more lifeguard matches. That's the beauty of independent wrestling with this. I mean, it's really just us as friends just having conversations and swapping ideas. And, you know, sometimes one of us has a great idea, sometimes one of us has a crappy idea. And, you know, sometimes, in a lot of cases, one of us have an idea and then other people kind of take that idea and add to it or tweak it or whatever to, you know, get it to its final stage. And that's part of the fun of it, is just getting to be creative and have fun with your friends and, you know, create something, you know, and hopefully it works, you know.
So I'm going to bring in two of my co-hosts here. If they have any questions, see if they have anything. So let's invite Tope. Do you have anything?
No, I didn't really have any questions. It was a good interview, though, but I was definitely listening to the part about New Jack that caught my interest. I've met New Jack before. He's cool. I'm a big fan of him from ECW. And the thing with New Jack is he kind of is very – he's a great guy, like, in person. He's very old school about his beliefs, you know. He kind of tries to keep himself very private, but a lot of things he's done in his past – that rubs fans the wrong way, and, you know, they'll talk crap about him online, but, you know, meet him in person, and they won't say anything, so, you know. But, yeah, he was at your retirement show. I mean, he retired at one of your shows last year, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he's cool. I like New Jack. But, yeah, nice interview. I didn't have any questions particularly.
Well, no, I mean, if I make it your brand, I mean, even something like that, like, what, like, as a fan, like, what comes to mind for you that makes you apprehensive about New Jack? What he did, like, what did he do in his past that was so crazy? Like, I mean, I'm just trying to follow the train of thought here.
There is one crazy match he had with this one particular gentleman. I can't think of his name. They had Heat from ECW, and, it was this. I'm pretty sure you may have seen like a clip of it or something like that, but it was like
Are you referring to Vic Grimes of the Bullies?
It may have been him. I know he threw him off
this match with all the scaffold.
Yes, and he threw him off of it.
Well, I mean, I'll pose a question. Now, ECW, run by I would consider a very smart promoter. I would consider Paul Heyman a very smart individual. Now, if what New Jack and or Vic Grimes did was so bad, why did they stop jobs? Why did Paul continue to work for them? Why do they have jobs years later? You know, I look at it that way, where for me, I mean, it's like if I went into, let's pretend I work at a deli, and I go to work at a deli every day, and you know what? I feel like stealing sandwiches, and my boss catches me stealing sandwiches. My boss is going to fire me, has every right to. You know, New Jack, if what he did was so bad, why didn't he get fired? You know?
I like him, man. I mean, just don't worry about the haters. I think you're one of the more innovative promotions out there.
I definitely appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, Toph, always good with his opinions. Love Toph. John, do you have any questions about for anything for Eric?
No, I'm looking forward to hopefully going to my first show. You know, if I can get together with you guys at the end of the month, I've heard nothing but good things. I really regret not going to the show in Woodside back in the summer because that's literally in my backyard. You know, no issues with New Jack or anything. And, you know, do we have a mental update on Clock the Mark?
Clark's it's interesting. He's a PWS super fan that very emotionally invested into the matches.
Well, I'll tell you, I was at the last FWE show, and the whole time Alex Reynolds was out, there was a huge, from about three or four guys in my row, Clark the Mark chant, so he's spreading to other promotions.
Yo, I got to tell you, he even got to go in the ring at a during the WrestleMania weekend. He got to go in the ring and shoot a promo, which was, by God, one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
You know, I had this idea one night. At 5 in the morning, it sounded like a really good idea, where we were going to have a raffle, and one of the prizes was a fan could get in the ring and cut a 90-second promo about anything they want. Here's your stage in front of, you know, 1,600 people. Say what you want to say. And Clark came in, literally bought about 50 ended up winning the raffle. It was insane because he was over with the crowd. It's actually the clips on YouTube, so some fans actually uploaded it. It was surreal. I mean, it's just him bouncing around. Don't get me wrong. But it's pretty surreal that the PWS fans have fans. Like, that in itself, I mean, digest that. That's a whole other level, literally. Crazy.
Yeah, that guy is just hilarious. I love him, and I always look forward to him going to the shows because I know he's going to be there. And I always like getting him on camera myself. You know, so, Eric, is there anything else you would like to say to our fans tonight or any stories you'd like to share? Because I know you got some stories. Anything you want to share to our people or to the PWP universe? Yes,
just very happy. I mean, we have four shows coming up in the next 2 weeks. I mean, PWS with Jason Snake and Buff Bagel and Colt Cabana and Kevin versus Alex and Party and Bones, all that on the 20th of Rahway. The next day, we're in Edison, New Jersey, doing a free outdoor show. It's actually our first outdoor show, so that should be interesting. Dan Moss against the Big O. Tito Santana is coming back for us. So that'll just be a good, you know, fun afternoon kind of thing for us, and Bombshells and the student show. In October, we have Sergeant Slaughter's coming in, and Sergeant Slaughter has his bone to pick with his guys that guy from his past, the guy, Cobra Commander, that's coming into PWS, too. So that should be interesting. Lita and the Boogeyman, a bunch of others coming in for October 26th in Rahway. And then in November, we close out our year in November with Wrestle Bowl with the Insane Clown Posse and Scott Hall and Dater and Shane Helms and Just Incredible. So a lot of cool things coming up. So just very blessed and just very happy, and just look forward to everything in the weeks and months ahead.
Eric, we do appreciate you calling in tonight. It's been an amazing time to talk to you, as always. I'll definitely see you on the 20th. Me and Jay will be out there, hopefully getting to film another episode of PWP TV. We always enjoy doing that, and we get some great interviews, and we appreciate, of course, you allowing us to come in to do that. So I can't wait to see you on the 20th.
Great, man. Thank you guys so much. Have a great evening.
Thank you, too.
All right. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was indeed Eric from Pro Wrestling Syndicate calling into our show. We do appreciate him calling in, as always. Amazing guy. He really is a straight-up shooter. We do appreciate him calling in on the show. And a big show coming out on the 20th. I'm really looking forward to it. Not to mention that the iPhone is also coming out that day, too. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah.
Good. Positive reaction. Thank you very much, guys, for that positive reaction. So let's continue going forward where we were. Yes. You have something to say, Tope?
No,
just
listen to you guys.
All right. Okay. All right. So let's keep going. We're not going to do any breaks. This ain't Jay's show. It's TLD show. We're not going to do no breaks. All right. So let's talk about another big thing that happened on Monday Night Raw was the return of Santino Marella against Antonio Cesaro in the match of the year candidate. I got to tell you guys, how did you feel about Santino coming back in that match? Tope, we'll go with you first.
You know, Santino has a very strange following, and I can relate to it, but I understand why fans don't needs to have that comic relief guy. I mean, earlier when you were having your interview, you were talking about the Disco Inferno. Disco Inferno was one of my favorite guys as a kid. But, you know, he was a comic relief dude. You know, he was your cruiserweight television champion at best. And that's kind of like where you put comic relief guys at. But every now and then, there's your comic relief wrestlers that get over. They're really funny with the crowd. And you know that they can wrestle. And if they really wanted to, it could be like the best wrestler. But they choose to just be comic relief guys instead. And Santino is one of those guys. This guy has, like, legit MMA training. He could probably wrestle with Brock Lesnar. I'm not saying he could win, but he could have a really good match with Brock Lesnar. He's 10 times better than what WWE allows him to be. And many fans know this, but despite that, he has a comic relief gimmick, and fans love him. I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember the Elimination Chamber match of 2012 where he almost beat Daniel Bryan, and that crowd was just going nuts. And just the concept of Santino winning a championship just makes fans go crazy, and fans joke about it, say, oh, just Santino holding a belt just sounds so insulting. But just think about it. Every single time they've even teased him winning, the fans just go nuts. You know, it happened at Elimination Chamber. It happened at the Royal Rumble when he almost eliminated Alberto, and then Alberto came back
there.
In.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you were there. I mean, those fans went crazy when that happened. Every single time
you
do a false.
I got to tell you. I was shaking in my legs because that was one of the coolest things. Even my girlfriend was sitting there with me, you know, watching the Royal Rumble. She was cheering on Santino. She loves him, you know, and it's just like, oh, my God, like, imagine that guy winning. Even last night, the fans went nuts. And Antonio Cesaro, even though he was a former United States champion, just the match, how funny it was and how just it was.
Yeah,
just,
man.
The fans just connect with Santino Marella on a level that not many people do. Even as
I totally agree with you, man.
Champion, I think Noah will be upset.
Yeah, I think that Santino Marella, I've said it since day one, I think he's a sleeper in terms of baby faces. If something was to happen to John Cena, I mean, I don't want anything to happen to anybody, but I think that Santino is a huge sleeper. There's a lot of potential and money. Like, even though he's a comic relief guy, like, every single time they've even done a false finish or, like, a tease, fans just go crazy. It's consistent. They love him. And I understand why, you know, the IWC fans don't like him. It's because he's a comedy relief, and you're supposed to keep comedy separate from, you know, a world title or a big push. But, hey, man, the fans love him, and whether or not you hate him or like him, you can't deny that every time there's a false finish or it looks like he's going to win a world title, the fans just go crazy. The fans love him.
Yeah, John, what are your thoughts on the Santino coming back to Raw and the match itself?
It was good to see. The match was good. The crowd was into it. You know, everyone forgets that, you know, Cesaro beat Santino for the U.S. title last year. So, you know, they do have some history there. I agree 100% with what Tove said. I remember watching that Rumble in 11, and I was like, there's no way they're going to do this, right? But I was so ready for it to happen. You know, and here's the thing about the IWC. All the IWC people that complain about Santino because he's a comedy guy, let's not forget, even though he's on a different level, the whole Brian Yes thing started off as a comedy thing. Team Hell No was a comedy thing. So you know what? It can work, you know, despite being the comedy stuff. And, you know, yeah, he's there's money there, and he's awesome. If you go back and you YouTube him from OVW, his stuff was amazing. He was originally supposed to be brought in as Kurt Angle's protege in 06, and then Angle left, and that's when they kind of, you know, delayed him back to 07. But he was originally supposed to come in and work a program with Angle. So, and he is that good to warrant that. He was going to be like Angle's protege.
What I love about the Attitude Era is also what I hate about the Attitude Era, because it's the double standard that fans will not let go away. In the Attitude Era, there was a lot of comic relief gimmicks, both in WCW and in WWF, but and ECW as well. But many of those comic relief gimmicks were kept in the mid-card. Because of that, wrestling fans subconsciously, it's like when they see a mid-card gimmick, or when they see a comedy relief gimmick, they just subconsciously associate with the mid-card, because that's what it was in the Attitude Era. But the truth be told is, many of those mid-card comedy relief gimmicks from the Attitude Era could have been over. It's just, at the time, there was something political going on backstage where it just wasn't going to happen. You know, like you had Kai and Tai with their funny Indeed stuff. You know, they could have easily have gone over the light heavyweight scene. You know, they could have had a few tag team title runs, a few intercontinental title runs, but the roster was so stacked. You had guys like Disco and Alex Wright and, like, this other dude. I forgot. It was, like, this Japanese guy. He used to dance with him all the time. You know, they had the little tag team of Boogie Nights. You know, Yeah. But by the time they finally got something going, you know, WCW was nearest demise. And then you got the BWO, one of the most infamous gimmicks ever. I mean, that was just a whole parody gimmick right there, and that was the main event thing in ECW. So, you know, I just think that fans subconsciously look at a comic relief gimmick and they just think mid-card. I mean, hey, it can work. I mean, even though TNA didn't pull the trigger with Jay Lethal, he was a comic relief mid-card guy, and the fans loved him. I mean, that was one of the best segments TNA had with him and Flair.
Yeah, but you got to remember, though, for all those guys like Kai and Ty that you talk about, you know what, you do have guys like a Foley, you know, even, you know, the Outlaws, you know, so it can work. It's just a matter of who they want to, you know, they want to get behind. That's what it is. I mean, you know, you got to keep that in mind, too, you know. I mean, and for as far as Richards goes with the BWO, he was one neck injury away from winning the ECW title in the midst of the big Stevie Cool gimmick. So it can work. It's just you need the right guy in the role.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think we'll have Stevie.
With Stephen Richardson, you brought him up, the Right to Censor gimmick, even though that was the most annoying gimmick ever, but you hated that group because they were anti-sex. And we all know a thing or two about sex. But, you know, that was even, like, one of the best stables, I thought, just because it was, even though the names were goofy, I thought that the entire idea of it was really good.
Yeah.
And that was based
off
some reality,
whoever,
too, because Vince was dealing with some. Oh.
How many people are going to talk here? One at a time. John.
The Right to Censor was also based on what Vince was going through kind of backstage, you know, with Spike and all that in the beginning with Viacom. So the Right to Censor was actually based off something real. And you're right, they were the most hated group in the world. But you know what? At one point, they had the tag belts. They had Ivory had the women's title.
The women's.
And
yeah.
Yeah. No, that wasn't during Val's IC title run.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the next thing that happened on the show. Something that was pretty relevant was Goldust making his return to Raw. They built him up with a lot of great vignettes. Randy Orton versus Goldust. Randy Orton would come out to be the victor of that match. But, man, the crowd was really behind the Goldust. They promoted this very well on social media where, you know, Goldust pretty much was trying to fight for Cody's job back. And he got the opportunity to go against him. John, talk about how that match was for you and the afterwards with Stephanie McMahon as well.
The match was great. I thought exactly the way it started on social media, you didn't think nothing of it. And then the fact that it morphed into an angle was great. You know, Dustin, I thought his promo right before the match where he was like, you know, I screwed up and I've had, you know, 3, 4, you know, 5 chances here and I screwed them all up. But Cody was never that guy. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was good, you know, and, you know, the backstage thing with Stephanie, boy, if her heel turn wasn't cemented, it was last night. And you know what? This is all to a purpose, you know, whether Dusty shows up or not. You know, the bottom line is Cody, whether he comes back as a face, comes back as a heel, is going to be huge after this. So, you know, and this is what you do. You find little ways, and this just happened to be a life circumstance, you know, that needed to be taken care of, that, you know, they could have went about in a million other different ways, and Cody's going to come back as a major star out of it. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, getting guys over.
I just really see this whole angle as them rectifying the mistake they made at WrestleMania 28, which could have solidified them as a star there. So at least they're finally making up for lost time.
Okay, short and sweet. All right, moving on to the next thing. Main event time. It was the Shield with Dean Ambrose and the Ray against Daniel Bryan. And Big Show in the corner, who could not do anything in the ring. What were your thoughts on that, Toph? On the ending of the ending of Raw, Daniel Bryan obviously getting over on that one. So, what were your thoughts on it?
Oh, you know, it's nice for an ending to. It's nice for them to have an ending that was different. I think fans were getting tired of, you know, Bryan being attacked. You know, also props for actually making the fans care about the Big Show. This is probably like the first time in a long time fans have really genuinely cared
about
it. Yeah. You know, when you have someone turn face and heel so many times over the years, you know, it really just kind of makes fans not care about you. But I think this gimmick, or not this gimmick, this angle has actually emotionally invested the fans in the Big Show. So when that knockout punch finally comes, when he finally knocks out Orton or Triple H, I guarantee you the fans are going to go apeshit. So congrats for finally making the show, you know, relevant to the fans. That's great. So I don't have any complaints there. So, yeah, I thought it was a good match. And, yeah, him and Ambrose have good chemistry. Good match, good match.
John.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. You know, Ambrose, Bryan speaks for itself. The Big Show stuff, you know what? I like the way he kind of did it, that he just kind of hesitated, and after Bryan kicked Orton, Big Show was like, oops, you know. So that was a different play on it. You know, and like Toph said, it actually makes Show relevant, you know, no matter which way he goes, whether he turns full heel and joins them, people are going to really hate him for being a sellout, or whether or not he finally snaps and says, I don't care. You know, I would actually, I know it's corny, I'd have Big Show win, like, a Powerball, like, and turn around and be like, okay, now I don't have money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have his money issues rectified like that. Like, I'd have him win, like, a lotto or something, and, you know, have him be like, all right, well, now screw you. Now you don't have that to hold over me, you know?
Right.
And,
you know, it's weird,
you know,
that they're doing
it,
that anyway. I think that it's pretty obvious that Show is not poor by any means. I just think that was a little silly way of kind of getting into it. They did bring up the ironclad contract thing, where I'm glad they brought it up, but they're pretty much saying they can break it, you know, in ways, which any contract in the world can be broken. I hate to say it. You know,
yeah, it would
what,
still be breach of,
you know,
contract.
Right, so they're finding ways around that. I'm going to bring in a caller in the line here from the 631 area code. You're on. You've been holding for 3 minutes. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm James, and I'm from Long Island.
Hey, James from Long Island. Thank you for calling into the show. What did you want to talk about tonight? We've been talking a little bit about Raw, Pro Wrestling Syndicate. What do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, I got one thing that I just saw on Facebook, on my Facebook, that this one person posted a picture of CM Punk claiming that in like the future, the WWE would be run by Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And the thing is, I didn't notice it until now, but it is what he said it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. John Toph, we'll go with John first. John, do you think CM Punk, after this whole storyline is complete, what do you think? Do you think he's going to play a role coming up in this story? Now he's been kind of out of it, but I'm sure a lot of fans are like, you know, CM Punk and Triple H have that history. John, what do you think about CM Punk's role in this?
You know what? Keep him away. Because this whole thing is as great as Punk would be on it, and Punk against Hunter, Punk against all them, you know, I don't get me wrong, I love it when he says Randall, but this is all about getting Brian over and making Brian, you know, as big of a star as possible. You can't have Brian get over due to guys like Punk or even Cena's eventual turn. I mean, a group, if it's like Brian, Big Show, Ziggler, you know, guys like that is fine because Brian's still the biggest star out of all that. But if Punk needs to get involved, then Brian's going to end up taking a backseat to Punk. So I actually don't want to see it. As good as it would be, I don't want to see it.
What do you think?
Yeah. Maybe I honestly see that. Well, I honestly don't see Daniel Bryan actually winning at Night of Champions.
Well, you know, I wouldn't expect him to.
Yeah, I mean, especially with what's happening, like Triple H and The Shield are working together now. I mean, at first The Shield were their own team. They were attacked no matter who was wanting to be attacked. Now they're being attacked. Now they're attacking because Triple H is demanding. Otherwise, they're scared they may be fired.
Well, you know, I don't think The Shield's mentality is really kind of around that. I think they're doing this whole justice thing, and they're being part of this corporation. Toph, what are your thoughts on CM Punk possibly being a part of the story after his Paul Heyman one?
No. From a continuity standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. Because the whole point of the storyline is Triple H is doing what he thinks is good for business. And CM Punk has already proven that he is good for business. That was pretty much like if all of this was like a catalyst, if this was like a chain of explosions, if you were to trace it back to the beginning, it all goes back to that pipe bomb. You could almost say that CM Punk, from a biblical standpoint, you could say that he was like, what do you call, like, someone that, like, kind of foreshadows the future, like a prophet almost? Because he kind of, like, he kind of was like a prophet that was talking about change, and after that promo was in the product and WWE changed, he held the title for all those days, the DVDs, and think about all the indie wrestlers that have gotten opportunities because of what Punk did. The whole Punk Triple H thing, that's already been visited. If he comes back to this, I see no benefit out of it. It's not going to help Brian. It's not going to help anyone. The only possible benefit I can see is that there has not been a single interaction between Punk and The Shield. And to me, that's something they should focus on, because one of the biggest plot holes, and we talked about this on our earlier episode, one of the biggest plot holes of The Shield is that they interfered in all of his matches when he was still heel, and then it was later found out that Heyman paid them off. But it was never explained if Punk knew about Heyman paying him off or if Heyman did that behind Punk's back. Now, if they were to somehow go into that, I wouldn't mind Punk feuding with The Shield, you know, give them something to do. You know, I mean, Punk's feuding with the Intercontinental Champion. Why not have him feud with the U.S. Champion? But as far as, like, Punk, you know, feuding with, like, Triple H and Orton, no. That's not going to help Bryan at all. That's going to undermine him. That'll be just like what they did with The Rock in 2000, where, you know, Austin interfered, helped The Rock win the title, and it was a great feel-good moment, but then the very next night you're like, well, wait a minute, Stone Cold's back, and they chose Stone Cold over The Rock. If they put Punk in this feud, fans are just going to – they're going to go back to Punk, and Bryan's gonna just going to – he's going to get left. Keep Punk away from Orton and Triple H, but by all means, have him feud to Shield and Heyman. That's cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if he's infected into the storyline. I think they might need him to help out with this crazy stable, at least in my opinion. We're going to go back to our 631 call. Do you have anything else tonight that you want to talk about?
Just one last thing. I got a question for you guys. Do you guys honestly think this is, in a way, in a way, repeating history with the McMahon-Helmsley era? In some way. Not exactly, but in some sort of way.
I would say, yeah, it's a good question. We're going to pass it along to Toph. I mean, I would totally agree with it, but Toph, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, this is a repeat of a repeat of a repeat. Yeah, just different people in different roles. So the only real difference here is that the Stone Cold and The Rock are not here. This angle has been done before, the whole McMahon thing. It's just the other angles, there is always the presence of The Rock and Stone Cold, and, you know, those eras are gone. We're in a new era now. So really, but the thing about this angle that's different, though, is that John Cena, who could be this generation's Rock or Stone Cold, just like for argument's sake, I'm not saying he is, but for the sake of argument, you know, John Cena, your top face, is absent, which kind of makes you kind of like question, like, for example, who is Daniel Bryan? Some say he's Mick Foley. Some say he's Stone Cold. Some say he's a mixture of both. You know, where does that put guys like Dolph Ziggler? You know, a guy that's like a former world champion but just seems to be in the mid-card. You know, but I do think that it is a repeat of a repeat of a repeat. It is. So,
John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, gonna be a repeat or something like Toph said. The one thing that I am looking forward to with Cena, since Toph mentioned it, is, you know, even though Vince said he didn't want Cena as champion, and Hunter basically admitted last night that he was wrong, I always believe in little things, and I look for little things sometimes. I really wonder, and I know he's not going to go heel. I know he's not. There's just too much money, too much other stuff involved for him to go heel. But I wonder if they'll play when Cena gets close to coming back that, you know, well, we don't have a problem with Cena. Cena made us so much money. Cena's the face of the company. We welcome Cena back. Like, almost like they're going to tease, like, a struggle for what side Cena's going to go on, whether or not Cena's going to join, you know, them, or, you know, take up the fight, you know, whatever. You know, the other thing I have with this, that I mentioned this on the site, I want to say a week or two ago, and I'll keep mentioning it. At what point do we notice that Vince has not been on since the night after SummerSlam?
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed it also that Vince has not been a part of it, but Triple H has kind of replaced that role as far as being the guy like Vince McMahon. He really is being Vince McMahon right now. We can clearly see that.
Right,
happening.
Right, no, that I don't disagree with you on, but at what point, and I want to see how they get to it, does Vince come back? Because someone's got to be the guy that frees up all these guys from living in fear, obviously, and the Vince-Triple H power struggle is going to happen. You know, at what point, though, are we looking at Vince coming back and all of a sudden guys like Dolph and Big Show and Bryan even and, you know, maybe whatever tag team feuds with the Shield next, you know, at what point do those guys get like a boost of energy to now start to stand up and rise up, kind of like the McMahon-Helmsley everything. McMahon and Triple H and Stephanie were on top for so long, and then all of a sudden on that random Raw in March, Vince came back, you know, and for 2.5 weeks, he was a face.
I mean, I honestly, if the way I would see it going, I would personally like Daniel Bryan versus Triple H at WrestleMania. I think that would work tremendously for that feud to go on, and finally he gets over on him. I don't think Daniel Bryan will even need a championship match, but we have a long time to go from WrestleMania. I don't know if there's still a power struggle, but anyway, we want to thank the Long Island guy for calling in. We appreciate you calling in, 631. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Thank you.
James.
Have a good day.
Yes. All right, thank you. We're going to move on now to the final thing we're going to talk about tonight, and that is the preview of Night of Champions. We're going to do our predictions. But before we get to that, we have to talk about the one thing that Toph and John really want to talk about, and that is the battle of the PWP All-Star System. I know you guys have been waiting for it all night, right? Okay, you guys are on mute, so I totally muted you, so you can't talk. So, battle of the PWP All-Stars. You guys ready for the results of this week?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I've been keeping track, and as of right now, Jersey J is still in the lead. Cody Rhodes helped him out a lot, but also Dean Ambrose has been helping him a lot. He has a total of 16 points. As for me, RVD's doing all the dirty work for me because I'm not getting too many points here, but I got 11 points. Toph, you're climbing right back into the everything. You got a total of 7 points as I look on my system. And finally, the bigger comeback here is John. He has 14 points right now. So, obviously,
Hang on a second. I had 11 last week.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I had 11 last week.
Okay.
I got a win by just hear me out. I got a win by AJ Thursday night on Impact.
That's a point, yep.
So that's 12. I got 2 wins on SmackDown.
Right.
Okay, 13.
Oh, yeah.
And I got 2.
Oh, Randy
I got
Orton,
2.
That's right.
Okay.
You are
and
right.
I got 2 wins.
Yes.
I got 2 wins on Raw last night.
You're right. You know what? I did not put that in. You are absolutely right. I will correct my mistake. How's that?
It's okay. No. Okay, that's fair enough. Just wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
No. I got that. You're right. You're absolutely right. I made a mistake. You do have 2 points, so yes, I will put that in right now. So now you
are 15.
Tied with Jay.
Yeah.
Well, I have 16 according to my record, so
yeah.
I gave an extra point. So, yeah, of course, yeah, he likes that. So, so right now you two, you came from behind and are picking up the points here with Randy Orton. But let's talk about coming into this next pay-per-view. Remember, anybody that makes the show automatically gets you 2 points. The main event match, which will probably be Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, get you 5 points. So, Phil and John, probably congratulations on that. You guys got 5 points automatically just for that. And everything is doubled. So we'll find a lot of scores to change over this next pay-per-view card. It's the first one that we're doing it with. So let's talk about what's going on the card. We have the kickoff with the tag teams. We have the Primetime Players, Tons of Funk, the Usos, 3MB, the Real Americans, all together in a turmoil match to determine who will be in a tag team match with the tag team champions, the Shield. What are your thoughts? Who's going to win this one, Toph?
The Usos should win. They deserve to win. They're pretty much the longest legitimate tag team in WWE. Why they haven't gotten at least one run with the titles is beyond me. But unfortunately,
They did at Money in the Bank.
I mean, they haven't gotten actual reigns, what I mean.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, despite all that, I'm pretty sure the Primetime Players are going to win. Ever since Darren Young came out, you know, congrats to him. You know, they've been getting more TV time. They've been getting pushed more prominently. So PTPs will win, you know. So they'll win the match.
John, your thoughts?
I'm going with PTP.
Yeah, I would say Primetime Players would be a great choice to put in there. Let's see what they do against the Shield. We saw the Usos already, and they were really great. It was a great match. I was there for Night of Champions, Money in the Bank. Great, great match. A really entertaining contest. I really enjoyed that, but I think the Primetime Players are primed to win this one. That's going to happen on the pre-show on YouTube, which I do enjoy that. That does count for pay-per-view points, by the way. It is a pay-per-view match. We did count that. So that match will happen on the show, but let's talk about some other ones that are happening. Not every title is on the line as of right now. We know that this match definitely will not be for Intercontinental title. CM Punk versus Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman in an elimination handicap match. What do you think is going to go down here, John? Who do you think is going to win, and how do you think it's going to go down?
I'm going Axel and Heyman by DQ.
Really? You don't think there's going to be any DQ
situation? I don't think he's going to get his hands on Heyman. I could see Punk just snapping and beating the crap out of Axel to try to weaken him, and it's a cheesy DQ. It's going to just fit the MO of Heyman barely escaping again by the skin of his teeth. I'm going to run because I got to take care of with the baby. Can I just run you through some picks real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, go.
Okay. I got Axel and Heyman winning. The Shield will beat whoever comes out of the four-way. If it happens, Ambrose will beat Ziggler. I'm going to go with Miz over Fandango, Del Rio over Van Damme, and Orton over D-Bry.
And what about the Divas match?
AJ to retain. And real quick, tomorrow night, you didn't know, on September 11th, we're going to touch on the September 13th SmackDown from Houston, Texas, and because the audio was so bad last week, we're going to re-pick up on the invasion. Guys, I'll talk to you tomorrow. So if I'll talk to you tomorrow, Will, I'll talk to you next week.
Hey, later.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much, John, for calling in. You had some pretty interesting picks there. What do you think? We're going to talk now about the Divas match, AJ Lee versus Natalya, Brie Bella, and Naomi. I got to say, I'm very happy with this Total Divas show. I watch it every week. I think it's a great show. It gets a lot of back insight in the business, but also now it's putting the Divas into a major storyline that I think people are really liking. John, what are you thinking about who's going to win this match?
John's gone, remember?
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Toph. I apologize. Who do you think is going to win this match between AJ and all the girls?
Oh, I really don't care. So I'll just go ahead and pick Natalya.
Okay, so Natalya will win the women's championship. So I have, I don't have any, I don't believe I have any divas, but I think AJ Lee is under Jay's team, so we do need AJ to lose, hopefully. So, but I honestly think that if they're going to keep going this AJ route, I think she needs to retain, and the girls just have to go against each other somehow. It's not going to work out. So, well, I think that's the route they're going to go. I think AJ is going to retain also. What about CM Punk and Curtis Axel? What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I understand what John was saying earlier about Paul Heyman kind of, you know, sneaking his way out. The thing about that is that so far they've shown on Raw that whenever Heyman tries to sneak his way out, even though Triple H and Brad Maddox seem to be operating as heels, they, because of their history with Paul Heyman, they don't seem to be giving him any passes either. So if he was to sneak his way out, I could definitely see Brad Maddox coming out, restarting the match, thus leading to Curtis Axel losing. So I'm going to have to predict CM Punk to win here.
Okay. I would do too. I think this storyline is going to come to an end. I think this will be the final time that we see this.
Yeah,
with
Lesnar
going,
I just don't. Oh, yeah, sorry.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, no, I don't know if Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel can go one more month. I don't know. There's no other people besides Heyman and Axel. And if he takes them, and if he's already fought Brock Lesnar, now he's fighting Curtis Axel again.
Yeah, I respect Paul Heyman for what he does. You know, it was definitely a great idea to repackage Michael McGillicuddy into the next Paul Heyman guy. I respect him, but I think that they made the wrong move. I think that they should have gotten Antonio Cesaro. It would be so much better. I mean, you saw that great match between Cesaro and Bryan a few weeks back. I mean, just imagine Cesaro fighting Punk instead. I mean, it would be more legitimate. Fans would be more looking forward to it. Fans take Cesaro more seriously. He's a former United States champion. It would be doing a lot more for Cesaro. I mean, granted, the real Americans, that's cool too, but I just think he would have been a better choice. I don't think Curtis Axel was the right choice for this Paul Heyman guy, because there's nowhere for him to go. It's making him a footnote Intercontinental champion. This feud isn't doing him any favors, you know, because he's just there. You know, fans were invested in CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. Lesnar's gone, and yeah, it's not doing anything for Axel. No.
I would think that if Axel defeats CM Punk, I think that would really help him. You know, if that was the way they wanted to build this, that in order for this feud to maybe go for another month, they could definitely do a Hell in a Cell type thing, you know, with this. But I think Axel, if he beats Punk, I think it would be a lot better for him. It makes him more legit. He's lost, you know, a couple weeks now, you know, especially to you know, Kofi Kingston, and losing to CM Punk also a couple times. I definitely see Curtis Axel needing this win more than anybody, because he's been the third man in the whole story. So he needs, I think, this victory.
Yeah.
I would like to see it, but I don't know if it's going to happen. But we'll see what happens with that. Next up, we'll talk about Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam. Very strange feud between these two guys, although I think the match itself is going to be pretty cool. What do you think about Rob Van Dam getting a World Heavyweight title shot, especially with Ricardo in his corner?
I don't care about this match either. I'll respect the in-ring work. I'm sure it'll be a good match. I'm sure that RVD will be motivated, but like, I can't sit here and say I'm a fan of either one of them. I'm not into the World Heavyweight Championship scene this year. It's probably the weakest year for that title ever.
Except for the night after WrestleMania.
Right.
Right. So, anyway, the final match we haven't talked about yet, which is Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. Obviously, this is going to be the main event of the night. I wouldn't be surprised if this turns into an ODQ match at some point, because I'm sure with the YouTube channel, I have a feeling they're going to do that, just to get people invested into it now that anybody can get involved. What are your thoughts on how this match is going to really go down?
It's
going to
be like Rock Austin at Mania 17.
It's
going to
be totally that, yeah.
Yeah, just like you said, they're going to input some last-minute thing, either no DQ or false count anywhere. There's going to be some last-minute stipulation, more than likely. And if not that, then there'll be your predictable ref bump. which will then have Triple H, Brad Maddox, or some heel figure taking the ref's place. And, you know, we'll get the spot where Brian will have the pin, one, two, and the ref will make the three count. There'll be some screw job. They'll continue it. You know, they'll make it clear in the match that Brian can beat Orton, but they're just simply not going to allow him to. This is a feud they're going to milk for a very long time. It's going to go at least until Survivor Series, if not longer. Some think it might even go all the way to Rumble. I think that's a little too long, but it's not ending here. Because if Brian wins, then what's going to happen is Orton will get a rematch clause and we'll just start it all over again. So it's going to be a better story for Brian to lose, because then he'll have to, you know, do the underdog, you know, prevail through the politics and stuff. But Orton, he'll win via some heel shenanigans at the end of the day. So,
always shenanigans involved. I agree with that. I think Randy Orton, especially they put this much faith into Randy Orton being the face of WWE, I just don't see it. I don't think fans are going to be disappointed, because I think they're going to, it's going to be a good match. It's going to have that attitude feel like McMahon did. It's going to have those kind of moments that people are going to really be affected with. I'm sorry. My dog is under a blanket and can't get out. I do apologize. Anyway, I think Night of Champions is going to be a good show. I can't wait to see it. We do know that I believe Greg DeMarco will be hosting a show afterwards of Night of Champions. You can check that out Sunday night right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. And, of course, tomorrow night we have Oh, You Didn't Know to talk about everything the night after, two nights after 9/11, where we had the big SmackDown, which was one of the biggest moments, I think, ever in the television, especially around that time, and talk about the whole invasion angle. Toph, do you have anything else you want to say tonight to your fans, all two of them?
Yeah, be sure to check out Impact Wrestling on Thursday. We're going to be having the Bound for Glory quarterfinals. No, semifinals, I'm sorry. We'll be having the Bound for Glory semifinals.
Yep.
We'll get Aries versus Styles 2. Hopefully the finish is better. And we'll get Bobby Roode versus Magnus. Also, Bully Ray will be defending the Heavyweight Championship against Mr. Anderson. And so pretty much this Thursday's Impact, in my opinion, we're really going to be telling the story of AJ's contract situation, because either Styles will win and he'll beat Aries, and if that happens, then the outcome is pretty obvious. Styles bully, which is what everyone predicted from the beginning. But if Aries beats AJ tomorrow, I think he's done.
Yeah, that's going to be a very telling tale. Or if AJ Styles does win, you know, maybe he extends the contract till that Bound for Glory, and maybe they by then can convince him to stay. It's a very odd situation with TNA right now with that whole contract stuff. You know, Kurt Angle right now is a mystery on what he's going to be doing. You know he's doing the Hall of Fame at Bound for Glory. We know that. We just don't know beyond that what he's going to be doing for that as well. And then, Bobby Roode and Magnus, you know, I think Roode and Styles are going to be the main event. If not, you can always throw Austin Aries and Bobby Roode in there. Austin Aries is a face now.
It's very weird. I've gotten some heat for saying this. I think if AJ left, it would be a huge loss. But I think that Aries could take that spot. He's very consistent. There's many fans that, you know, do not like TNA. They hate on TNA, but they'll tune in just to see what Aries is doing. Every single time they are in a big city, the fans are into him, you know. Fans love Austin Aries.
Yeah.
I forget when he had his match with Jeff Hardy. I was surprised to see how many fans were on Aries' corner. When he fought Hardy last year at Bound for Glory, I thought it was going to be like, you know, 80 to 70% of fans cheering Hardy and, you know, a few 20-30 cheering Aries. But it was 50-50 split. It was like watching a Cena match just in TNA. You know, fans love Aries. I think that if AJ Styles left, it would be a huge loss, but I think that Aries could be that next guy. He could be the guy that TNA can focus on. You know, I mean, granted, he's already won the world title, but still, I mean, there's still so many great matches he can have. We've yet to see an Aries Angle feud. We haven't really seen an Aries James Storm feud. We haven't seen a real Aries Christopher Daniels feud. There's still a lot of potential money to be had in Aries, but I understand if they want to have AJ Styles go over because, you know, he did help. I mean, he's essentially their Sting. So, you know, I understand if have them go over. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're building up. They have a show coming up in 2 months, Bound for Glory, the biggest one, going on. There's going to be a lot of different stories being told here about Sting, Angle, AJ Styles contracts here, Hulk Hogan's contract even. There's a lot of big things we're going to have to look forward to on this show. And No Surrender is going to be the tell of it. You know, we have some points on the line as well, which will be very important, especially for me because I had Bully Ray. He's my, he was my top pick. So hopefully he retains his title, No Surrender, which I'm sure is a lock. But and then the obviously we have a whole story going on right now with Aces and Eights kind of breaking up here a little bit. But what is Tito Ortiz's going to be role going into Bound for Glory and all that? So we still have that to worry about. A lot of big things coming out of TNA. I'm hoping they can kind of rebound here a little bit and get their heat going again without people complaining about all the contracts and all that stupid stuff that people care more about than the actual content. So let's
hope. Oh, one more thing before we go. How much time do we have left? Like 4 minutes? What's up with Saban?
What was that?
What's up with Saban? What are they doing with him? Did you see last week?
I have no clue. I have no
feared. I thought he was going to hit Velvet to get heat for a second.
I have no idea what's going on with that. That came out of nowhere, by the way, when that was when that happened. So I couldn't tell you. You know, I mean, he was world champion 1 minute. Velvet Sky.
See, when he did,
I
don't know if you remember, that reminded me of, like, Chris Jericho, like, late WCW, right before he left, where he would lose his matches and just go in a temper tantrum. I think they're going to do that with Saban, but since he's such a dork and so small, they're going to have Velvet talk for him. I don't know. Very strange, though. Very, very strange.
Yep. All right. Well, what we're going to do for the last minute of this show, this is more of a tribute that I put on Twitter, through Jay's page, is that we are going to have the last minute. We're not going to end with a song or anything like that. What we're going to do is we're going to end the last minute in silence. We are going to pay tribute to all those from the 9/11 victims, also from the attacks. It was a very emotional day for myself, and especially being from this area. And what we're going to do for the last minute, we're going to go completely silent for the show. We do appreciate everyone joining in on the show, Toph. We always agree for you calling in as well.
Oh, thank you. No problem.
Yep. And make sure you join us at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We do have Oh You Didn't Know Radio. That is tomorrow night. Tune in for that. And then on Sunday is Night of Champions. Afterwards, I believe Greg DeMarco will have his show on the air to talk about what happened at Night of Champions. And as always, we will be back here every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Jay is going to take over the reins one more time, and probably Blog Talk Radio will go down because that's what happens when he's on the air. So for Toph, for John, for Eric for calling in, and for James out in Long Island, we want to thank you guys. We're going to leave you in silence for the next minute. So for those victims and their families on 9/11, we are here for you. We're Strong USA, and everyone have a great evening.